The end of the month. Tomorrow's the beginning of the final month for the year. As I got moving earlier today, and it's been a horrendously long day for me, one of the first bits of news that I discovered was that Christy McVie, Fleetwood Mac, passed away this morning at the age of 79, which becomes interesting because that puts her only about 4 years ahead of me. And interesting piece of music. Jeff Bennett here on this Wednesday night, which is interesting because I talked to somebody this morning and I said, what is today, Tuesday? Yeah, it's Tuesday, No, it's not. It's Wednesday. I've lost another whole day in the week. I've been doing that a lot lately. Glad to have you here. Do I want to save the changes? No, just get it out of here. Don't save it. Shut it down. Get out of my face. For those of you who continue to inquire, yeah, I'm still fighting battles. Not necessarily the battles that we've been discussing, but other battles. And it's made things very difficult. I actually did a fair amount of work today. Nothing you could specifically see, but things that I've had to accomplish in the office. Wrote some sales today on some Valcombi 1x110 ounce bars, which became available again, and yes, they are available. You can learn more about them by going to Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and look at the treasure chest. You'll see a photograph. I've not updated the prices at present time, but that's something it takes just a minute to do. I did publish something a day or so ago, a series of oddball little pieces that I've found and kind of put aside and have not really had a chance to do much of anything with. A wide range of sickening headlines. Sickening from the standpoint of the direction this nation continues to go. I titled the so-called piece, "The BS Continues." I, of course, spelled it out. You know that. The founder of the 1619 Project claims that the Declaration of Independence is not a liberty document and admits she finds patriotism hard because of slavery. God. She says this country would not be a democracy without us black people. We would not have had the freedoms that you have without black people, she said at the event. So I believe in the patriotism. It says we will fight our country to live up to its highest ideals. Hannah Jones, a New York Times Magazine reporter who about a year ago was kind of slapped down pretty hard for her bogus writing. But she founded the 1619 Project with the outlet in 2019, arguing that America was founded the year that a group of slaves arrived in the country, and not when independence was granted in 1776. I give you nothing more than the introduction because I get sick and tired of this kind of crap. And you see, that's the whole point. Every single one of these little miniature headlines and these little one-two paragraph things that I did in this segment on Federal Observer called The BS Continues is just so much crap. It's sickening to me. School district with the LGBTQ reading list for pre-K students refuses to recommend books on founding father Alexander Hamilton and SCOTUS Justice Amy Coney Barrett because they promote American values. So you see, it doesn't seem to be matter what you touch. There is this entire mentality out to destroy American values. And unfortunately, too damn many people out there just ignore it. Now, this is a Maryland school district that recently unveiled a LGBTQ inclusive book list for its elementary schools, have pushed back on several children's books that promote American values. Bethany Mandel, editor of the Heroes of Liberty book series, told Fox News recently that the Montgomery County Public Schools recently declined to recommend three nonfiction books donated to the school. And she said she created the book series to give parents and educators an alternative to progress literature, which she believes is being forced onto primary school children in the district. And I'm choking on myself again. I continue to do it. It's why I speak very little throughout the course of the day. I am very difficult to reach on phone because I prefer not to speak a lot right now, because I begin to choke and to gag. It's junk. It's junk in my body, junk in my throat, junk that I keep coughing up, and I don't know why and where the hell it's coming from. No, I don't have COVID. By the way, I did open up the bottle of Chivas Regal the other night. Let me go do it again tonight, because I don't give a damn, see? Now, having said... All right, let's do two more things in this little segment called The BS Continues. A couple of interesting pieces. Who were the real slave owners at the height of slavery? It's not what you think. It's not who you think. Of course, the diehard liberals want to try and accuse every white person for being a slave owner or a descent of a slave owner by virtue of simply being white. But is that really the case? Take a look at some of the census from 1860. Take the averages, you end up with about 1.3% of the population in the United States that actually owned slaves at the height of slavery. And that included slave owners that were white, Native American, and black. Oh yeah, baby, them darkies owned some of them slaves too, you know. Interesting piece, take a look at it. Interesting piece of history that I found quite unique. I've not had a chance to do a full publish of it yet, but I'm going to. An Air Force veteran, age 56, Fred Miller, purchased a 10.5-acre property known as Sharswood. I guess he paid about $220,000. Get this story. This is a Virginia home that was built on site of a plantation where his own ancestors were slaves throughout the mid-1800s. Fascinating. And he's not regretting it. Not one bit. I find stories of this type interesting. Now, when I put this series together, there was another link that I've been sitting on for a while. And it asks the question, why is the history of slavery hidden in schools? Well, it's been observed that it fails to move the reparations narrative forward. There is a 1-hour video that I have posted on Federal Observer by a very unique human being, a very unique American. His name is Thomas Sowell. The question asks, why is this history of slavery hidden in schools? The name of the title is When Blacks Enslaved Too Many Whites. This is a very well-read, well-learned human being that is going to present this lecture to you. I seriously contemplated making it a full one-hour program. For those of you who are interested, the program is there. Go to federalobserver.com. It's on the front page. You'll scroll down and see the video with Thomas Sowell. I strongly urge you read it. Listen to it. It's quite fascinating. We now move on. Let's take a look at some economic stuff. I'm not prepared for my traditional Wednesday programming this week. My physical and mental and emotional status is making a lot of things difficult for me to bring together right now. Do the things that I prefer to do, things I like to do. And so some of the things we talk about tonight are a little oddball bits and pieces of different things that we began to bring together that I never was able to complete. And all within the last couple of days. This is all new stuff. But here's some marvelous economic news. Oh, yeah, the Bank of America chief has warned of two more years of pain with high inflation and interest rates. The federal government to backstop 1 million mortgages, million-dollar mortgages. Experts are predicting a 20% fall in home prices. Huh? Well, I find it interesting that the Bank of America chief is warning of two more years of pain. That's about the amount of time we got Joey left in office, isn't it? Of course, God knows who we're going to get when he kicks the bucket or drops dead or can no longer spit out the left side of his nostril. This is unbelievable. Brian Moynihan appeared on CNN several days ago and warned about this two-year recession coming, but he is hopeful it'll be brief and mild. And the forecast comes as home sales have fallen for 9 straight months, a trend that will persist as buyers facing rising prices shy away from the market. Moynihan has made the assertion hours before the government announced that it had raised the limit for mortgages backed by Congress to more than $1 million. It's the first time in history the agency will back loans of more than $1 million, people. Despite the market signaling a subtle slowdown over the past 3 months. And so experts are now warning that a large-scale slowdown is coming. One that's going to see home prices eventually fall more than one-fifth from its recent peak recorded last June. This is unbelievable. No, actually, that's not true. It's all quite believable. It's stuff we've been talking about for quite a while. It's something that we've been witnessing take place. Yes, it's profound. First time in history the government is going to back loans of more than $1 million. Despite the mortgage market signaling a slowdown over the past 3 months, this is just unbelievable. It sounds to me like they're juggling, as usual. What's going to happen is that as we see the rate of inflation slow down, And we're watching it happen right now. We're going to see rates come back down to more than the target rate. We're going to see adjustments come through. It's going to take nearly 2 years. 2 years of pain for people buying a house. 2 years of slower activity. Economists, meanwhile, have warned that a large-scale slowdown in residential real estate is on the horizon. You know, this is obviously frustrating for my family and I, because I have been wanting to get out of this home for quite some time. Not just for economic reasons, but for reasons that are far more important to me. My wife and I no longer need a home of this size. We still have one granddaughter living with us. She could be here for a couple of years. She could be gone in a year. Something interesting about her, something's going on in her life right now. It is unbeknownst to her, is making her finally see the signs of adulthood, responsibility. She's at the hospital with her father each day. She's seeing a father suffering things that she never expected to see. And she at least is looked upon by the people in the hospital as the family member for them to deal with, which bothers me because she's only 18 and does not know how to necessarily deal with the situations they're having to deal with his injuries, decisions that have to be made. He's not in a position to make decisions yet. It's going to be quite some time. So these are reasons I wanted to get out of this house. And I sit there looking at charts and graphs, and we take a look at the kind of money that the federal, Freddie Mac and the Federal Housing Finance Agency would have supported over the past few years. Back in 2015, the average amount of money, minimum mortgages eligible for federal backing, was $625,000. A year later, same thing. 2017, it crept up a tiny bit. 2019, it was up somewhat more. 2022, they were up to $970,000. My God. Does it begin to make you wonder? I mean, economists have warned that a large-scale slowdown in residential real estate was on the horizon. We take a look at home price indexes, ranging from 2002 up to 2022. The one-month home price changes, annual home price growth rates. We've seen homes go up 5%. In 2002. By 2009, it was down some 15%. And then it began to creep up. By 2010, it was up, still not broken even with 2002. And then it went up. And by the time 2020 hit, it just exploded upwards. There is no market is not being manipulated. It's an impossibility. It's all being manipulated. Think about that. All has to do with profits. For whom? The people that bailed out of California and headed over to Arizona for a vacation and saw mountains and sunlight and desert, open skies, open land, and could buy homes larger than what they had sold in California, and they could buy these homes for 25 to 40% less. No, it's greater than that. They could buy a home super cheap in Arizona. But there's one problem. They brought their damn politics with them, the bastards. And I have no use for that. If you want to keep your politics, please go back to California. I'd much rather see you back over there. Jamie Dimon disagrees with Moynihan's commentary. He believes that Americans should brace for an economic hurricane. Goldman Sachs head exec David Solomon told CNN in July, prior to the real estate slump, that there was a good chance the U.S. had yet to reach peak inflation. And Karen Clancy, a senior U.S. economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics in London, told online outlet Axios this past Monday, rather abruptly, that a collapse in prices is coming. I see it coming. They're trying to keep the game being played. I think about things in terms of growing up in the automobile business. 1972 or thereabouts, I began to sell Volkswagen. Now, Volkswagen is a very affordable automobile at that time, of course. You can still buy a brand new Beetle for $1,900 somewhere in that area. And they came out with some newer, a little bit more expensive models, etc. This, that, and the other thing. But think about what you could buy other cars for at that kind of money. You know, you got it, you could finance a brand new car. 24 to 36 months was about max. But even 36 months, it had to be a very specialized situation. And I remember when they first began to make 36-month loans on Volkswagens, you had to have pretty damn good credit. And then a couple of years later, it went to 48-month loans. Now you're sitting at 70 and 80-month, 80-some-odd-month loans, probably longer. It's insane. It's insane. In many cases, the cars won't last that long. Or you'll get tired of it and want something new, and you'll owe more than the damn car is worth. Yep, I'll pass. I have a car right now that I own that I don't particularly care for. It's 2013. It's a... what is it, Hyundai? I don't know. Yeah, it's a Hyundai. Tucson. It's okay. Nothing special. Just a car. That's all it is. Supposedly more economic to run, etc., etc., etc. I don't find it all that special. I don't find that it gets that great of fuel mileage, etc., etc. It's not a bad-looking car. Worst seats I've ever driven in my life. We're talking the front, the driver's seats. They're horrible. It's like a rock. I'm sitting on a freaking rock. It's unreal. But I don't like the car. But you know what? I own it. Free and clear. I have no payments on it. I don't want any stinking payments. I've had enough of payments in my life. My wife's got a car. It's a few years newer than mine, but it's got more miles on it. It's got no payments. Bigger car. She's put some money servicing it, taking it up. She doesn't want any more payments either. Enough is enough is enough. I can't go on. Now I want to get out of this house. I want to get into something small. Smaller. And you know what? I'd consider an apartment at this point in time. Not that I particularly want to. I don't want to live in that kind of a circumstance where you got people on the other side of the walls, people above you, people below you, who are just a royal pita. You know what a pita is, don't you? A pain in the... Yeah, that's right. I don't particularly want that, but I'm not sure I want all the rest of this nonsense. Part of the problem with renting an apartment, you can spend more money on electrical because it doesn't matter how careful you are with the care of your electric usage, et cetera, et cetera. You're kind of stuck with this whole different mentality that you can be as careful as you want, but the power companies aren't going to give you the benefit of the doubt when you're being somewhat more careful. There's things like that to be considered. It's nuts. Absolutely nuts. We'll address the issues when the time comes, whatever they happen to be. Maybe I go north. Maybe I go up to South Dakota. Sure got a much smarter governor up there than we've got down here.
And demanded that the Constitution be followed and actually had a constitutional plan to overturn Roe.
What is that all about? Did you just insert something or did my voice go haywire? Where you at, Michael? Let's run a break. That's weird. That's a part of a piece of a program we did last week on abortion. How in the world that slipped in here, I have no idea. Hope that's break music. We'll be back, maybe.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show.
This has been one weird 10 minutes or so. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm hearing we've got some technical issues, programming issues. I'm assuming you folks are hearing me. I'm assuming I'm hearing myself. I don't know. Jeff Bennett, we're back on this Wednesday night. And I keep seeing the words, you're on the air, but I'm assuming we are. Some of the other news-related pieces that I found of an economic nature is kind of an interesting one. Came across this one last night. How many of you out there got 401ks? Better check your 401k's fine print. You see, Joey wants to raid your 401k because he wants to fund net zero and diversity. But why should his woke agenda put your retirement at risk? Well, that's something I sure like to know. Not that I have a 401k. Quite interesting. Andy Puzder, former CEO of CKE Restaurants, chairman of Second Vote Value Investments, and a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Now, I'm quite familiar with the Heritage Foundation. Many of you are. He says, if you're among the tens of millions of Americans with a 401k, you better sit up and take notice. Because the Biden administration is putting your retirement money at risk in pursuit of their leftist agenda. Now, you see, just a couple of nights ago, well, almost, well, as a matter of fact, 1 week ago tonight, evening before Thanksgiving, Joey wanted to avoid unwanted attention, of course. Biden's Department of Labor released an Orwellian new rule misnamed prudence and loyalty in selecting plan investments and exercising shareholder rights. What the hell is that? I mean, don't let the mind-numbing bureaucratic gobbledygook distract you. Because the rule interprets a law that would require fund managers make investment decisions for the sole benefit of the Americans who depend on those assets. Not you, not the investor. Well, on the surface, that's kind of both a good and reasonable policy. And at one time, it was considered bipartisan. Well, Congress passed ERISA in 1974, known as the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And the law made it crystal clear that those managing such assets must do so solely in the interest of and for the exclusive purpose of providing benefits to participants and their beneficiaries. Simple. Patently clear language provides no basis for investing assets to prioritize, say, saving the planet or achieving equity or in any way advancing wokeism. And then enter the Biden administration. An environmental and social and governance or ESG or investing or plain old BS. ESG is a set of ill-defined non-financial investment criteria, my friends, used to screen potential investments based on how well a company is pursuing certain social or political goals. Does that kind of begin to make you just a little bit nervous? ESG gained prominence in 2005. When a United Nations-sponsored group of international investors established six, quote, principles for responsible investment, or PRI. And the principles included a pledge to, quote, incorporate ESG issues into investment analysis and decision-making processes. Now, there is no generally accepted definition. ESG often would include things like advancing the goal of net zero carbon emissions. In other words, destroying America's energy sector and driving up the energy prices. Or hiring to create diversity. That's AKA discrimination based on race or sex rather than qualifications or merit or character. How about acceding to employee demands? All via unionization, of course. And according to PRI's website, over 5,000 financial institutions, including almost every major U.S. asset manager, have signed on to this bullshit. And since then, ESG has not built the best track record. Earlier this year, ESG leader and advocate, the investment company BlackRock, you remember them? They set a record for the largest amount of money lost by a single firm over a six-month period of time. They lost $1.7 trillion of clients' money. Oh, my friends, but these ESG losses were not restricted to BlackRock. No. As Bloomberg noted back in May, quote, investors are yanking cash from the sector the fastest pace in a year. While two of the biggest exchange-traded funds tracking the industry have each tumbled at least 24% in 2021. And given the obvious financial risks of ESG ideology, in January of 2021, under President Trump's Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia, the Labor Department passed a rule restricting ESG investing in ERISA-regulated retirement plans. And that rule instructed plan managers to consider only financial performance and risks when making investment decisions. In explaining the rule, Secretary Scalia wrote that, quote, a
hang on, here we go again.
Quote, he wrote that a fiduciary's duties is to retirees alone. Because under ERISA, one social goal trumps all others. Retirement security for American workers, end of quote. 19 Republican state attorney generals also took notice. And they wrote a letter to BlackRock CEO Lawrence D. Fink in August of this year, warning that his firm's ESG focus appeared to violate the sole interest rule. Now, it's a legal principle, my friends, that closely tracks with ERISA. It compels fiduciaries to seek financial returns above political or social goals. And in September, the Attorney General for Louisiana and Indiana cautioned their state pension boards that ESG investing may violate their fiduciary duty. And so the not-so-subtle warning to fund managers was, don't get carried away with ESG because you may be liable for the losses. Well, now you get this new Biden rule, which kind of provides some cover. See, the Democrats want the managers to feel more secure in using investor assets to advance an ESG agenda, which conveniently, surprise, surprise, aligns with the Democrat political agenda. And in a rarely matched act of arrogance, they label doing so as prudence. Oh, maybe we should close the program with that song. Dear Prudence, da 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 da. Yeah. There is no damn prudence anymore. This new Biden-era rule supposedly clarifies that retirement plan fiduciaries take into account the potential financial benefits of investing in companies committed to positive environmental, social, and governance actions. But why? According to Biden's Labor Department, the Trump-era rule had a chilling effect on consideration of environmental, social, and governance factors in investments. But you see, that's just not true. The Trump-era rule permitted consideration of ESG factors as long as doing so was consistent with ERISA's requirement that such investing be solely and for the exclusive purpose of generating financial benefit for retirees. And as Scalia noted, sometimes ESG factors will bear on an investment's value, should be considered. The intent was not to eliminate ESG criteria from consideration when evaluating an investment. As you see, that clearly was not good enough for a Biden administration desperate to use massive pools of private investor money, your money, to fund the businesses that they like, and in fact punish the ones that they don't like. And if that weren't the case, they would not need a new rule. So one Biden Labor Department official said that the quiet part out loud when they complained that the Trump rule did not allow fund managers to consider moral factors when considering their investments. Of course, whose morality was never made very clear. Biden's Secretary of Labor, Marty Walsh, that the new rule allows plan fiduciaries to consider climate change and other environmental, social, and governance factors when they select retirement investments and exercise shareholder rights. Of course it does. And there you have it, my friends. A Biden-era rule allowing, if not encouraging, asset managers to use your retirement assets to advance the Democrats' political and social agenda in contravention of ERISA's specific statutory language. this isn't just a bad policy. And it is bad policy. This is administrative malfeasance. It is anti-democratic. It is socialism in sheep's clothing. And so fund managers who signed on to environmental, social, and governance investments be forewarned. ESG investing has been miserably underperforming this year. The Supreme Court has been taking a decidedly negative approach to such administrative overreach. And the Secretary of Labor will not always be a Democrat. No, we'll all be better off by honoring Americans whose money has been trusted to the fund manager's hands and by leaving the whole woke politics crap to the politicians. It's some pretty harsh things to consider, is it not? I am going to attempt to, if I'm feeling up to it, to get this article published tonight on on Sierra Madre Precious Metals. This is well worth your reading. There are many of you out there who are retired, deeply invested in 401ks. I mean, this is unbelievable. Some of the notes that are being left. I really hate wokeism, Evangeline says. Major Mauser says, wonder if there's a list of the funds out there that did sign up for this foolishness. Don't forget that Senator Biden sponsored legislation to begin taxing Social Security income. You know, some of these things go on and on. Calvin Tiedrinker says, when 401ks first came out many years ago, people did not realize that by putting a portion of your salary or hourly wage into a 401k mutual fund pre-tax, you were actually placing those funds on loan to the IRS in the form of a voluntary pre-tax contribution agreement. You may have those funds in a private bank or other financial institution. However, those funds were always available to the U.S. government via the IRS at any time to be borrowed from to fund the activities and functioning of the U.S. government at any time. It's not just 401ks. It also includes IRAs. Some federal and state employee pension funds can be tapped for equity to fund the U.S. government in, quote, times of unusual fiduciary conditions. It's happening as we read this, and as inflation and worse, stagflation begins to take hold. And in a year or two, these investments are to become little more than a promissory note. And then you get an idiot like this guy. Well, that's fine with me. I saved almost $700,000, and if President Biden wants to take most of it to help with the heating of the nation, especially after Trump destroyed it, I'm fine with that. John Buzz, what a jerk. This is a unusual article from its source because I have never seen so many comments left after a said article. We'll share most of them with you. I will endeavor to get this article published on Sierra Madre tonight. It is something well worth your being aware of and reading and looking at. Don't buy into the BS anymore. Understand exactly what it is they're trying to do to us. Gal still looks good to me. Oh, I'm just checking out to Governor Christy Noem. Oh, it's an article about something. She's put a ban on TikTok. State agencies up in their state are forbidden from using China-owned social media platform over the growing national security threat. But on top of all that nonsense, she's a smart, intelligent, good-looking gal. And I'd sure like to see a lot of other states follow South Carolina's lead. Congress, of course, should take broader actions as well, but you know how that nonsense goes. It's insane. Pure insane. Too many people within government are rubbing elbows with the chinky dinks. It's appalling to me. All right, now, I'm going to take just a moment to make a couple of comments before we bail out of here. I share with you a conversation, a portion of a conversation I had earlier today that I'd asked somebody, what day is today? And they told me it was Tuesday, and I didn't question it. And realized later today it was Wednesday. All things being equal, if I'm alive and kicking, I will see you tomorrow night. Working on a specialized program for Friday night as well. Hope you'll stick around for that one. And we'll do our best to, little by little, trying to get back into websites. But I've got issues with all four of the websites. I'm going to try to concentrate tomorrow working on those issues and getting some things cleaned up, some problems dealt with. And then maybe, pray God, I can get back to work on these sites and start concentrating once again more and more on the program. So, Michael, if we got some tunes ready to go, whatever they happen to be, let's rock and roll and do them. Folks, thanks for being with me tonight, staying with us. There's some other stuff going on I am not at liberty to talk about yet, but I received a couple of interesting phone calls today from old friends, so we'll see what it's all about. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow night. Without apology, I'm out of here, baby. Take care.
begin. Oh, yes, let them begin to begin. Make them plan till the stars that were there before return above you. Till you whisper to me once more, darling, I love you. And we suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.